ain't that something? And the kids, and a child shall lead them, brother. Are you going with them? I don't think so. I think he's staying here. I might need a tag team. Well, thank you, guys. I do want to introduce my family here. I don't want to embarrass them for nothing, but my mom and dad here, Barbara and Benny, and also my brother-in-law and sister, Taffy and John. Thank you, guys, for coming up, although I don't know why, but I thank you for that. Just want to praise. You know, I was thinking about that. I might wear a crown, but I don't think it's going to be but for a few minutes. You know, I'm going to lay it at his feet, just the thought of Christ and what he's done for me. I stand amazed every time that I get up to preach his word. I never feel worthy, and I'm glad that I don't come in my own worthiness, but I come in the one, my Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Last time that I preached to you last month, I actually challenged you about sharing the gospel. And as the church, one of those really kind of duh things, the church should share the gospel, but if we're not careful, we talk about it a lot, but do we really do it? And I challenge you guys to get out and invite people to church and share your faith. But I was thinking about, you know, as pastors and preachers and teachers, a lot of times we get up and we challenge you to do those things. We say that, but how? I hope today the application of that sermon that I preached is today's sermon. I want you to see, what does it look like? You know, we tell you and we challenge you, but a lot of times we don't say, well, here's the shoe leather to it. You know, I was reading today, and I can't believe, Barry, well, I can't believe God's that way. When you read that scripture today about our life being a vapor, you know, here today and gone tomorrow, and I read in Job this morning. Now, you guys just finished your study on Job, I think, the last little bit. And he was talking about the soles of our feet have limit. God gave us a limit to this life. We are here for a short time. And I thought about, you know, how the years have went so quickly in our life. And all of us could probably say amen to that, especially when we have kids. Thought about Jacob when he stood before the Pharaoh in Egypt. And Joseph had finally got him down there. And he brings him in. He's hobbling because he had had his wrestling match with God. And he's forever changed. And he stood before Pharaoh one day, and he said, and Pharaoh said, how old are you? He must have looked pretty old, didn't he? Because Pharaoh said, how old are you? You know what he said? He said, I'm 130 years old. My days are few and full of evil. And I thought, there's a 130-year-old man standing and saying 130 years is few. His life had went quick, and that vapor. And you know, here's the deal. Life is short. This is our time. This is our race. We have the baton. It's time for us to serve God and Christ right here in Todd, North Carolina, to make a difference, not only in this community, but around the world. When kids can get excited and raise $900 to help children in India, my goodness, what can a group of believers here can do that can change the world? We can change the world. What did 12 men do? Well, we're sitting right here in a church in 2013 because of what 12 men did. The great commission that God had given them. Same commission that we have today. How many people have Facebook or your own Facebook? Go ahead and raise your hand. Be honest for the Lord. We have Facebook, don't we? I got a good friend that works in Desiring God with John Piper up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he posted this on Facebook. You know, Facebook can be a good thing. It can. It's our community now. It's how we keep up with people. And usually that's how we keep up with one another and our loved ones. But he posted this, and listen, this was from Blaise Pascal, which was a Christian philosopher. In 1659, he wrote a book called Penzies, and this was his number 80 in that book of Penzies or thoughts. He said, listen to what Blaise Pascal said in 1659 now. He said, everyone should study their thoughts. They will find them all centered on the past or the future. Studying our thoughts. We almost never think of the present. And if we do, it is simply to shed some light on the future. I want you to think about this. The present is never our end. Past and present are only means, only the future is our end. And so we never actually live. Think about that. And we never actually live. Though we hope to, and in constantly striving for happiness, it is never inevitable that we will never achieve it. Now, I want you to think this is a man living in 1659. He's talking about we're always thinking about the past. We're always thinking about the future. Some of you guys might be sitting here thinking about where am I going to eat lunch today? If you think about your thought pattern, it's very, very rarely is it the present, living now. It's always, and I got to thinking, chewing on that a little bit, and I thought, he's right. We're thinking now, there is a future thought. We ought to be thinking there's a future coming of the Lord Jesus and a future eternity that one, you know, there's two people sitting in this room today, lost and saved. A person that has eternal life and a person that has eternal death. Two roads, narrow and wide. And if we're not careful, we're supposed to be thinking about the future, but we're supposed to be living it out in the present. And I think Apostle Paul had a grasp on that. And I want us to turn in our scripture today to follow up my message. It's 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. And here's my thought. The church, not only does the church share the gospel last message, but the church has to be intentional. And we'll flesh that out. It has to be intentional. Look in 1 Corinthians 9:19-23, and let's stand up to honor God's word as we read it. And the Apostle Paul says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jew I became as the Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you." Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much, Lord, that for a few moments we have time to come together, the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we have your word. You did not leave us comfortless, but you gave your Holy Spirit. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'll hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth for your glory in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. If I asked you, what is the mission or goal of the church? Think about that. What is the mission or the goal of the church? What would be your answer? Well, we have to go back to Matthew there with the commission that we've already talked about. And Jesus said, "Go ye therefore." And what did he say to go? Everywhere. And what did he say to do? Make disciples. The mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And he said, teaching them to what? To observe all things, the things that I've commanded you. The mission and the focus of the church, or the goal, is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And Paul, I want us to see that he lays out a strategy, if you please. Is that, how does it look? What does it look like to make disciples? What does it look like to evangelize? What does it look to share the gospel? I think he gives us a strategy right here in 1 Corinthians 9:19. You say, well, here we have to ask this question. Should I use this strategy today? Is this an apostolic thing that maybe was going on at that time? Or is this a strategy that I can actually use in 2013? Well, I think he answers that over here in 10. If you'll go to the last of 10 right here, in 10 and 31. And he answers this question before we get started. He says in 10:31, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jew or the Greek or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." And then look what he says in 11:1. "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." This is a strategy that we can use today, because all Paul was doing was imitating his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what he's commanded us to do. Well, what does this strategy look like? And I want us to look at 3 points today. The first point being an all things investment. The second being an all men identification. And the third, an all means intention. First, let's look. An all things investment. And look what Paul knows what he's chosen to be. Look at 19. "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all. Paul, you know what he's saying? He's become a slave. He said, I have freedom. You know, we're all about freedom in America, and we should be. We have freedom. We've had men and women. We've got men and women that are serving right now and dying so that we can have this thing that we call freedom. We're all about being free in America. And Paul understood about freedom. He understood about freedom in Christ. You know, if we're not careful, what we want to do is we want to make Christianity a bunch of do's and don'ts. We want to say, oh, don't do this, I can do that, and that's what makes me right. Christianity's done. It's already been done on the cross. We don't have to worry about do's and don'ts when it's done and we come under Christ. He guides us. He gives us His Holy Spirit to show us and His Word to do what we should do and how to live. And Paul's saying, hear what he's saying? He said, I'm free in Christ. I have freedom to serve Him, but I've made myself a slave. Now, we're not all about that in America, about being a servant to others. In fact, our individuality teaches us, man, take care of yourself. Who's going to take care of old number one if you don't? Which is not Scripture whatsoever. And Paul's saying, though I am free, he becomes a slave. He uses his Christian freedom to become a slave. Though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant. Love through servanthood. That's our first thing. How we share the gospel? We love through servanthood. We serve others, our fellow men. We look for those opportunities to serve. And we show the love of Christ through serving. Not through bickering and fighting amongst ourselves, but through serving a community and reaching out in love to all people. To all people. And we're going to see that. But he realizes his investment. No, there's no free men, by the way, in Christianity. We're either a slave to Christ or a slave to the devil, is what the Scripture says. The question is, who's your master this morning? Who's our master? And Paul said, my master's Jesus. And I'm free in Him. In fact, we'll see that freedom played out a little more in the Scripture. But he says, I've become a slave to other people. Do we really care and love? When was the last time? Ask yourself, am I doing all that I can do to be intentionally reaching as many people as I can with the gospel? Am I really doing that? And Paul said, that's my life. That's my life. You know what he's done? We're going to see that he's modified his behavior. He's lost his rights. I have a right. He's lost that, put it behind, and he's saying, it's his rights. It's his people. It's his children. There's people out there that only you can reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we reaching them? And Paul's letting us know that. He's adapting. He's not changing the message, by the way. Never changed the message, but he's changing the methods. And we'll talk more about that. I'm not talking about being pragmatic up here with bells and whistles and trying to win people that way. If you win people that way, you've got to keep them that way. I'm talking about changing the method. I'm talking about being as shrewd as a serpent and meek as a dove. That's finding people right where they are. And you know what? Finding that common denominator with them that you can share the marvelous love of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's strategy is. It's that relationship, as Pastor Homer's saying. It's building those relationships. Let me tell you now, if you're one of them old prune, dried up people that are grouchy and you come around, don't share Jesus. We don't need any more of them. We got plenty of them. We need people that love, truly love Christ. Are we going to have bad days? Yeah, all of us are. You see how my lips swelled up. Sandy back at it this morning. Look, I shouldn't have said that. I knew I shouldn't. No, I really chewed a sausage biscuit too long, and I told everybody she back at it. But we're going to disagree. I love my wife. Sometimes we can kill each other. Yes. That's true. Amen. But listen, we're real. It's time to be real. That's just life. But you know what? We still have this common denominator. It's called Christ. And even though we might want to kill each other, we realize, listen, that's what Satan wants. Satan's come to kill, steal, and destroy, and he wants to destroy your family. That's what he wants. Do you not see the attack on our families today in America? They want to skew everything.
That's what he's after. But I love, you know what? But God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Ooh, that's Vacation Bible School scripture. Trusting God. And Paul says, you know what? He says, I'm willing to put myself and my wants aside that I can reach out to my fellow man and love them and share that, earn that right to share the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ with them. He's modified his behavior. And we'll talk. I'll flesh that out a little more as we get further. But I want you to see, not only, you know, he knows what he's to do. And I want you to see what he says there at the end of 19. That I might win the more. And you hear that all through it. In fact, five times he mentions win the more, win the more, win the more. And then he said that I might save some. So we know save, are you saved, is not just a churchy word, but it's a biblical word. And we're going to talk about what does he mean? What does he mean to win somebody? To win somebody, we say, well, to Christ, but what does that mean? To win them. To win them to eternal life is what he's talking about. To win them to a way out of the clutches of Satan and death and bring them into a child of light. And to win them to eternal life is what he's saying, he's talking about. Five times he talks about that, to gain them. Paul's aim was to win them and to save them. We hear this word, what are we saved from? Separation, but listen, there's a word we need to talk about that might not be too politically correct. In fact, I saw this week where the PCUSA, which is the Presbyterian, the liberal side of the Presbyterian, took In Christ Alone, I don't know if anybody else saw that, but they took that hymn, which is in our Baptist hymn now, took that out, said that where the part where she sings, the Geddes, which wrote that, and she says, for on that cross where Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Oh, they didn't like that. They said, oh, let's change it to on that cross where Jesus died, the love of God was magnified. And you know, they went to the Geddes and said, can we do that? They said, no. Well, see, we're all about the love. The world's all right. Let's talk about Jesus' love. Well, he just loves everybody and he's not going to send anybody to hell. He don't send anybody to hell. We make our own choices. See, that's the problem. He just loves everybody and he's going to just open up his arms and accept everybody just the way they are. Boobish. That is not in the scripture, but that's what the world, let's just coexist. That's what everybody wants to do, coexist. And if I really love somebody, can I let somebody live in that lie? Can I? Oh, it's so easy. You know why we want to do that, buy into that? Because it don't ruffle any feathers and we can just cruise right along and don't have to bother nobody. We want everybody to love us. We want everybody to like us and love us. And so we're careful. We don't want to stamp on anybody's toes. But listen, what Paul's talking about saving them from is the wrath of God. And it says, in fact, the scripture says, he who believes, this is John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So what are you talking about there? The wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come. What wrath? The wrath of God. Romans 5:9, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. What wrath? When man chose to sin, he separated himself from God. When sin entered in the garden, the wrath of God rested upon humans. Everyone that's born. We're born with a huge void inside of us. But why? Because we're separated from God. And God is in his goodness and his love and his perfectness and holiness. It requires wrath upon sin. Why? Because God judges sin. And I see in our Sunday school lesson with the youth today, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and in there in Mark, and he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What's he talking about? Why hast thou forsaken me? Because the wrath, the full wrath of God's fury is being poured out on the Son, on the cross. You don't hear that a whole lot talked about, preached. The wrath of God, why? Because we want a loving God. But you see, that is the greatest picture of love. He's pouring his wrath upon his Son. Why? So you don't have to have the wrath of God that rests upon you. That's what Romans 5 is saying. Having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. If you're a child of God, the wrath does not rest upon you. But if, I'm telling you this morning, if you've walked in here and you've never had the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your soul, that the wrath of God rests upon you. In fact, Ephesians said, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. The wrath of God rests upon you. And you know what the sad part about it is, most of us are worried about what somebody thinks. You might have been in church all your life. The fear of man is a stumbling block, is what Proverbs says. We're scared about what somebody thinks, and we're stepping right over the arms, bread arms of Jesus Christ that took the punishment to enter a place called hell that God never, He never made for human beings, but for the devil and his angels. And we step right over the blood of Jesus Christ to get there because we're worried about what somebody might think or what we might have to change in our life. When the Spirit of God comes inside of us, He changes all that. We don't have to worry about those things. Well, I need to get this right. I need to get that right. That's me. That's where I was in my journey to salvation. I was trying to get everything right. And you know what? You can't get it right. If you could get it right, why did Jesus need to come? But then not when I got down and said, Lord, I'm so tired of trying. I'm so tired of living this way. He entered my life, and the only reason I'm standing here before you today in Todd, North Carolina in 2013 is because that night He entered into my life and He changed me forever. Eternal life entered. It started right then, not when I die. It started that moment, that night, that Wednesday night in Morgan, North Carolina. At Walker Road Baptist Church, about 7 o'clock. Well, it's about 8 o'clock. Is that the invitation? Eternal life began for David Cooper. Am I worthy of it? No. It's not about my worthiness. You know what? I quit trying. I need to quit doing this, all this. You know what? Jesus took care of all of that. He's still a work in progress. I'm still got a long way to go. That little old song, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Might be a kid's song, but boy, there's a lot of truth in that. And I'll never be completed till I go to be with Him or He comes back to take me. He wants to win them to eternal life, for them to be saved from the wrath of God that's poured upon them. Listen to this, J.I. Packard said, to evangelize is to present Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, that men shall come to put their trust in God through Him, to accept Him as their Savior, serve Him as their King, and the fellowship of His church. What a mouthful. That's what to evangelize is, to save men from the wrath of God, to win them to eternal life. Well, that's our all things investment. Look at their all men's identification. Look at 20 through 22. And to the Jew He said, I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law towards God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. You know what He's saying? That's a lot of worthy, a lot of mouthiness. You know what He's saying? He said, when I was with the Jews, you know what I did? I acted like the Jews. You said, wait a minute, now is He being a phony? No, He's using everything that God, every situation that God had allowed His life to be in. He was a Jew! Philippians tells us too, He lists off His credentials. He said, man, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. All these things He said He listed off. I was a Pharisee. I was without approach. Man, I was in the best universities. I got the best education. But you know what He said? All of it is dumb compared to the excellency of the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. And when He was with the Jew, you know what? He knew how to act like a Jew. He knew not to stay away from the bacon and the pork and the catfish and all them things that they couldn't eat. That's right. So glad I told the youth the other day, I said, I'm more pig-eating Gentiles. I didn't explain to them, but they Jews didn't eat any of those things. Man, I'm so glad for pork. I don't know about you, but praise God. But Paul knew what it was to be a Jew. And so he said when he was with the Jews, you know what he did? He didn't eat those things. Could he have? Well, yeah. He had the freedom to do all that. Oh, wait a minute. You mean he's talking about not only that, but he said, I became to those who are under the law as under the law. What do you mean? The ceremonial law that they kept, they had so much they could do and they couldn't do, and they put so many restrictions on themselves they couldn't hardly live. And Paul said, I became like one of them that maybe by that opportunity, by doing that, I could tell them about a Savior that they didn't have to live that way, but the freedom had already been placed on them through Him not living this life. Paul said, so I acted like them. I created a platform. Now, I'm not talking about being a phony. I'm not talking about, wait a minute. There is a thin razor's edge there, if we're not careful, that's there. That we get out in the world, but we're not of the world. Scripture tells us that. To be in the world, but not of the world. I'm not talking about going out here and like good old boys and drinking it up, getting drunk with them, saying, let me tell you about Jesus. How many people's going to listen to that? I'm not talking about that. I'm telling you, most people, that's what they do. The swing of the pendulum. The libertines. Listen, I'm talking about living in a world making a difference. A light. How can a light make a difference in the dark if it ain't out there shining in it? I'm talking about looking for every opportunity because there's a lost world out there and all men's identification. He knew what it was to be a Gentile, man. He knew what it was to pull up that plate of pork and bacon and all those good things and eat with them and love them and tell them, you know what, you're looking for the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He's giving us a strategy. I love what he says, and to the Jew I became as a Jew that I might win, and those who are under law as under law that I might win those under the law, and to those who are without law as without the law. Now he's saying, now wait a minute now, without the law, the ceremonial law, not being without the law towards Christ. He's saying, I don't live those ceremonial laws anymore that keep this feast, eat that, do all these things. He said, but I'm under the law of Christ. And the law of Christ supersedes all that because the Scripture gives us a foundation and a way for us to live. It gives us a guideline and parameters and all these things. And Paul said, man, he's saying there's so much more freedom in that. And there is. And he's reaching out to everyone that he comes in contact with. And I think the weak that he mentions there in 22, and to the weak I became weak, in 8, 9, and 11, if you look at that, who's this weak that he's talking about? I'm saying, man, that's me sometimes. Sometimes I'm the weak. But I think he's talking about in 8, look at 8, 9, and 11. He said, but beware lest somehow this liberty, and he's talking about meat sacrificed to idols. There was a whole group of them. You see, in Corinth, it was a pagan town. And all the meat you bought had been sacrificed to the idol. And the people, the Christians, were saying, now, wait a minute. If I order that ribeye steak that's been offered on the altar to a god, am I not participating in that idol worship? And Paul thought that was a joke. He said, they ain't even know such a thing as an idol. Eat it up. Don't worry about it. But to the Christian, the weaker Christian, in their mind they were thinking, wait a minute, because they had come out of that lifestyle that they were participating in that idol worship. Now, starting to put some things together, we'll talk about that and make it relevant for today. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours, being able to eat the meat sacrificed to the idol, becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be embroiled to eating those things which were offered to the idols? And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? And we'll talk about this. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat lest I make my brother stumble. Oh, hey, Brother Dave, I can drink beer all I want to as long as I don't get drunk. I'm not bothering anybody. Paul said, if it makes somebody's conscience stumble, it makes my weaker brother stumble, he said, I'm not going to do it. I mean, we think we got so much liberty today, we just do whatever we want to, and we never look at this scripture right here. It talks about it being a stumbling block to others. Paul said, it's not worth any of that. Whatever freedom I might have, he said, I'm willing to sacrifice it that I might reach the lost person. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying to them. He's identifying the target group. What is our target group? How do we identify? Well, let's think about friends. How many people have lost friends here in this room? Neighbors, work associates, school, classmates, relatives. That's our target group. I like his story. There was an old story about a University of Chicago which received $1 million grant from an heiress of a major department store. She had been a student at Northwestern, though. So the administrator of Northwestern went to visit her and asked, said, why did you not give this gift to your alma mater? What's going on here? Her answer was simple. The people at the University of Chicago asked, you didn't. You didn't. Listen, how many people? people, how many of these people have you asked to come to church with you or asked about their relationship to Christ? And I don't tell them, just come to go to church. Tell them, hey, listen, I'll come and go with you. I'll meet you at the door. Make it personable. That's what Paul's talking about. Make it something. Look at, I love you. Come on, I'll come out to your house. You can ride with me. He's talking about sacrifice. He's talking about sacrifice. How many times do we fail to ask people the simple question, will you go to church with me? Or have you considered becoming a Christian? God custom designed you with unique combination of personality, temperance, talents, and background, and He wants to harness and use them in His mission to reach a messed up world. He designed you just the way you are so you could help reach a lost world. Albert Einstein's definition of insanity. Was Albert Einstein a smart man? Everybody knows, right? This is one of his definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Does that sound familiar? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Folks, we are the church of 2013. We can look back and say, praise God for the people and the saints that have come from old, and this is the building block for where we are, but we're 2013. We have a 2013 culture that we need to reach. We're losing our young people 7 out of 10 before they're 23 years old, doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. I don't know about you, but we need to wake up. Not changing the message. Well, we got to change our methods. We got to reach out to a lost world that's dying and going to hell, and we're willing to lay back and say, as long as it don't bother me, I'm all right with it. What about our Tuesday night outreaches? We're doing that every Tuesday night. We have teams. Just once a month going out into the community, let people know I love you. I love you. I'd like for you to come to South Fork if you don't have a church home. We're not trying to get flock hoppers. We don't want people that go from church to church to church. We're talking about people that's not in church. Everybody says, well, I realize that. I've been here for 2 months now, and Mount people say, well, they don't go to church. They don't go to church. I hear that a lot. Well, have we asked them? Have we asked them? Is there a marker in their life that they don't go to church? Have we cared enough about them to go out and ask them to come to church? And say, come and go and be with us. Tuesday night outreach is a great way from getting out in the community. Todd Festival's coming up in October. I haven't lived through one of them. A lot of you have. They said, that's a great time. Thousands of people right here at South Fork. Man, we need to get the word out that there's a Savior that loves you. Let us tell you about it. Here's the deal. It doesn't matter about whether they go to South Fork or not, although we want them all to come, as long as they go to church and get saved. Because it's getting there. The time's getting closing. We want them to know Christ. And bless God, if you don't have a church, you're welcome to come here, but just go somewhere and learn about Him and get involved. Awanas, 28. Got a lot of kids coming out of community. Parents that don't go to church. Awana workers, that's how important that it is to be a part of it. You get opportunities to minister to families that's coming in that don't ever, maybe not ever, grace the doors of South Fork another way. We saw that in Vacation Bible School last week, didn't we? We need to be real and relevant in our community. Let them know, hey, there's a bunch of people here, imperfect people. I told a guy this week, I said, if you want to come out to South Fork, and I said it again. I said, if you're looking for a perfect church, don't come because I'm there. That's the truth. There's no perfect church. We're all imperfect people. And we all suffer. We all have hardships. You know, we want to act like everything's okay, but a lot of times we're going through rough times, a lot of people. But we're here, we're in this thing together. And I don't know about you, but I read the end of the book and we win! We win! Press on, saint! Press on! It's getting better! One of these days it's going to be all over. And we don't have to worry about it no more. But until then, there's going to be suffering. There's going to be sorrow. It's time for us just to be real and say, yes, I'm fighting hell by the inch. Will you please pray for me today? Instead of, I have things great. If we're not careful, that's what we do. We're all guilty of it. All guilty of it. Well, and all things investment, and all men identification, and then lastly, and all means intention. One word if I can give you. One word that will change the way that you
evangelize and share the gospel is you've got to be intentional. You got to be intentional. You say, what are you talking about? Everybody that's around me any length of time knows that I like to hunt, and I do. Well, my mama knows it, my sisters. It was my idol at one time. That's all I wanted to do. Nothing wrong with hunting, but when it comes and takes the place of everything else, it's wrong. Anything you could put in that category. But you know what I've learned? I can talk the lingo. I played the game long enough. I know everything, not everything. I'm not that good. But I know a lot. And you know what I do? I go to Walmart, and I go to the hunting section to fish. You say, what are you talking about? I'm looking for them old boys. Boy, they strike up a conversation, and they want to talk about hunting, and I can talk their lingo. And before long, they've broke that wall down, you know, and they're talking to me and all that. And then before I know it, I'm turning that thing around, and we're talking about Jesus, and they don't even know what in the world's come or gone. But I planted a gospel in their life, and they're facing in. They're looking at the real question. It's not how many deer you killed last year, but how many are you going to be? Are you ready to face your Savior if your life's required of you tonight? It's using those platforms that God gives you. You got women, you have so much in common with other women, men, golfers. It means whatever your job is, whether you're a mechanic, whatever you do, look, you use that as a tool and a platform, but you got to be intentional. And you can talk the lingo and you find that common ground and you make those relationships. And when you get the opportunity and the window is open, you share about the love of Jesus Christ in your life, your testimony and what He's done for you. And people respond. And that's really the strategy that He's talking about. Look what He says. He said, to the weak I became weak, that I might win. I have become all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. Now this I do, look how He finishes off in 20, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker of it with you. What's He talking about there? Now listen closely. He's saying, you know what? I'm following Christ, and I want to be so Christ-like that if I'm not doing these things, He's saying something's wrong with my relationship, or do I even have that relationship to becoming a partaker of the gospel with you? Paul realized if I'm saved and I'm living for Christ, I'm sharing the message, and to do likewise, then something's wrong. Maybe I'm not saved. To become a partaker of the gospel with you. Is that a marker in our life? Do we care? Are we intentional? Do we go out with the purpose of? A lot of times when I know life gets hectic and we're all busy. But you know what? We have, every one of us have opportunities every day, and we don't look for them every day, that you can share that love. You can share that love, and you can point them to a Savior, because there's, how many people could say amen? There's a lot of hurting people out here in this world. And Paul's saying, you know, I thought of BLT. If I said BLT, what would you think? Bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, wouldn't you? But you know what? I want you to think about BLT last time as you build. You build relationships with people that you don't know, people that you come in contact with. You build a relationship. Look, BLT, look for opportunities to talk to your friends about Jesus. And then T, take your friends to church and other places where the church is involved. Even in non-threatening things where we come and we get together in fellowship. Let them see that we're just a bunch of real people that love the Lord and love each other. Are we going to agree about everything? No. But we agree that there's a Savior that loves this earth. BLT. Well, Paul had it all summed up. And he said, this is my strategy. I'm going to do it all. I'm going to become a slave. I'm going to reach everybody that I can. I'm going to use everything that God's given me in this life to reach a lost world. Now the question is, does everything that South Fork do, is that the center of their focus? Is it the center of our focus? Is it to reach as many people as we can? Do we have a gospel center focus? You know, nothing wrong with having things that are the same. And you know, go in Walmart the other day, and I thought Target was that way, but I don't believe Target's as much as Walmart is. But the aisles are similar, ain't it? You know, I know where to go. I know they're all laid out and all. And things, some things are good the same. We like it that way. But I'm going to tell you, this is 2013, and we have got to reach a culture that is fastly running away from Jesus Christ. And that means to do all things to all men that by all means I might win some. Is your desire to see lost humanity come to meet a Savior? Let's pray, and I'll turn it over to Homer. Father, thank you so much. Many times I'm convicted by my own message. And sometimes I get so caught up in life that I don't even think about, could care less about other people when eternity hangs in the balance. And I ask you to forgive me for them times. But there's other times, God, that eternity is so pressed upon my soul that I weep and I see people that reject Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm praying that today, maybe there's somebody here that, Lord, knows they're not right with the Lord. If He required their life right now, that they would spend eternity separated from Him in a place called hell. And through Your Holy Spirit, will You reveal that to them, Lord, and draw them to You. And, Lord, we praise You. Thank You. Help us to look for that opportunity to share the gospel for Your glory. In Christ's name.